The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty!
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty!
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor,
Andy, Jimmy, JC.
All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty!
It's time to get this party started tonight!
Well, Mr. Marsh had done it. Canadians had won it, with Ishmael Coney clucking all the while. That's it.
Clucking all the while. What does clucking all the while mean?
Well, it was from The Simpsons. There was the Simpsons song, but it was the softball. And Mr. Burns had won it. The power plant had won it.
Oh.
With Roger Clemens clucking all the while, because he was this is a terrible
opening. He'd been hypnotized, right?
He had been hit. Sometimes his words had hypnotized him.
I feel hypnotized right now. It was good, Jesse. Jesse Marsh's team they won. And they scored, and I think that's three straight clean sheets. God, that was a boring game.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was awful. It's pretty prime, Dubs and Craig. It's JC, of course. Jimmy's here, fresh off the call from last night. But, yeah. At least you got paid for it, Jimmy. Jesus, we didn't get paid for watching that thing. I've seen worse. But I think the biggest thing for me was just the – I mean, it felt like a Leaf game. Like, just no.
Except no. Canada won.
Yeah. Hey, they won. They at least won last night. Hey, Wonga's here now as well. Hey, Wonga.
Good morning. I had more fun at my colonoscopy. than watching that game last night. Is that allowed? Is that allowed to say? It was, man.
Probing.
It was probing. I don't know. It was that like six people in the stands? It's tough. It was a tough one to watch.
Like COVID. I mean, if you're a Venezuelan living in the U.S., are you going to that game? Because I'm not.
No.
You're getting
carted away.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
All the ice people.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
The whole geopolitical nonsense.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, okay, I feel like they already
and
associate
ice,
Canada with being cold.
Just that, yeah.
Oh, because it's cold, JC?
Well, because like they're like, oh, here comes Canada, and they bring the ice.
Wah, wah. Well, I mean, I think it's all very well playing these games in the States, but you do want to have a crowd. I don't care if it's partisan, Venezuelan, El Salvadorian, Honduran, Canadian. Just you need a crowd for the players. You know, you want them to be used to a hostile environment. So I'm not blaming anything, but the fact of the matter was, Craig, as the occasion, it wasn't an occasion. And as a footballer, I can imagine it's very hard to get up for those games. It feels like we're in COVID all over again. We're talking about this, aren't we? Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Oh, what's the point? Let's pipe in some crowd noise or something.
Yeah, it's never quite the same, but you know, it's a good thing that the game went ahead because there was some question marks around that. So they had 90 minutes and it was obviously worthwhile. It wasn't perfect, but sometimes it isn't. You just have to deal with the situations as they come to you. And the bottom line is they don't concede again. I think they've only conceded one in the last six games, given up 10 shots on target in the last six games. That's incredible. Like that's the positives that I'm taking out of what we've seen from this team, that they're difficult to beat even when they're not playing their best.
Jimmy, is that the identity of this team now? It's defense and obviously we can talk about the press, yada yada, which wasn't much of last night, but they've become a defensive juggernaut.
Yeah, I'd like to think so. Again, you're right. A clean sheet was it a great game? No, but was there some positives that you can take away from it? Yeah, absolutely there is, I think. You know, especially for me, just certain individuals. Again, Richie Larea, fantastic. Just, he's so consistent, isn't he? Alfie Jones as well. You know, his first international match with Canada, I thought he was very good. Obviously, Max makes a couple of good saves as well. So I think overall, yeah, defensively sound. Again, clean sheet, which is a massive positive. We haven't scored in, what, four games from open play and ended up bagging a couple of goals. But yeah, there was some positive and obviously some, a few negatives as well. But you can understand, you know, the match being the way it was, and where you're playing, no fans, trying to create your own atmosphere, especially, you know, a few days prior, you're playing in front of 30,000 people. So, yeah, it is tough to get yourself going in situations like that.
Dubs, Jimmy mentioned that Alfie Jones' first match looked pretty good. And obviously you take into account the opponents, who actually, they're actually quite good, I thought, Venezuela. But Alfie Jones slipped in perfectly beside Derek Cornelius. And then a few minutes in, and comes Joel Waterman, who was, as usual, dependable, tenacious. Center back is suddenly a great area of strength for this team, it seems.
Yeah, and if you go back to Alfie Jones and how impressive he was, it was the way that he slotted in first next to DC and seemed to understand his teammates. Like, he seemed to understand the task at hand and also the system that he's meant to play. I mean, I know that Jimmy mentioned a number of times in a pregame that at Middlesbrough, he plays for a coach that espouses a similar philosophy. So he's comfortable in that role, but it was his off the ball movements. It was his positioning, but it was also, he was impressive on the ball, which I think if you're playing at the top of the championship, you shouldn't be surprised at that. But still within that context, he's dropped in. I thought it looked like he'd been there for years and just was having an impressive performance for Canada at center back, but then it's to maintain that. So Derek Cornelius comes out just after the half hour mark, and Joel Waterman's no slouch. I don't think we often give him enough credit for what he does for Canada, coming on as a substitute or starting. I think that, you know, the ceiling for this team and the expectations for what that center back pairing needs to be, I think that he's not necessarily at that level, but he always comes in and he plays well for Canada. But then back to Alfie Jones, for him to continue to perform at the level that he did despite the change around him, I think really bodes well against an opponent and conditions, as we've already mentioned, where it was changing game states and his level and his performance remained very, very high. So I think that Jesse Marsh is going to have a headache here. Moise Bumbido, I don't know if he's going to be back in time. Derek Cornelius continues to be challenged by this niggling injury. I think he's going to be fine. But I think you look at your options all of a sudden, the depth that you have at the position, and I think that's excellent. And also how we related to Max Crepeau. I think Craiger, you mentioned how the resolve of the team and how good we have been defensively, but went to sleep a little bit with some substitutions made late in the game, where Chouinard in the back post, there's a free header. He's just kind of like got his arms around the opponent. He needs to jump there, do a little bit more to defend that. And then the shot where the center, like the back line is just carved wide open. Great first touch by the Venezuelan, I think I said Ecuador before, sorry, by the Venezuelan attacker. Max makes a great reactionary save and then the rebound goes off the post. I think there Canada can do better to keep that, you know, their alertness, like the way that they're engaged in the game, to keep that going all the way until 90 and then through stoppage time, so that no matter who's coming in, that collectively, that defensive kind of standard remains really high.
Craig Dubs mentions Chouinard there. It does seem to me that, having seen Eustachio beside Kone for two straight games, I know Kone got the red card, we can talk about that, but it seems to me Jesse Marsh knows what his preferred central midfield partnership is. Now, it could change. I understand that. There's still a lot of club football between now and then. For both these guys, actually. But it does seem to me that, ideally, if they're both on form, it's going to be Kone and Eustachio. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. Yeah. Yeah. Both those players. I mean, he's got options, but in the center of midfield, I think those players have done very well. It's a little worrying about the amount of minutes he's getting at club level, Eustachio, but it doesn't seem to waver as far as performances go with Canada, with lack of playing time for his club team. So I think that puts him in good stead too, because not all players can do that.
Maybe certain players and you know, lack of club time, let's spin it and just say they're going to be fresh. They're going to have fresh legs.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, some players you want minutes, right? Because a goal scorer, a striker, I think you want minutes, especially because the touch, and the confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Is that more important than perhaps a central midfielder who knows what his job is and isn't necessarily about, you know, in that case, creating chances?
Well, I don't know. I think that applies for guys up top too. I mean, we've seen players that do really well off the bench over in history of football that, you know, become super subs and they can do it very well and efficiently, and other players can't. But generally speaking, yeah, you want to be playing and scoring goals and banging them in, and the confidence has to be, you know, it wants it to be high. So that's, and I think that's the case for a Jonathan David type. I think we've seen that he needs to be in top form and scoring goals for him to be confident, even with our national team.
Jimmy, you worried about Jonathan David? Forget the minutes right now, but he hasn't scored. I think it's I've got the stats somewhere. He hasn't scored in like 17 games, or it's 1 in 17 overall club and country.
Yeah.
At the moment, I mean, and he wasn't good yesterday.
No, he wasn't. I still think he comes a little bit too deep, and I think maybe that's part of the reason that I think Eustáquio and Kone were a little bit too flat at times. Which means there's a big space in front of them where Jonathan David looks to come in and try to take advantage of it. I've said it before. I think a lot of times too, when he gets deep and he gets on the ball and he wants to spring that attack, we have so much pace going forward. It's difficult to catch up after that. You know, once you play that 30, 40 yard ball forward and you got Buchanan breaking down the line, it is difficult to catch up with play. I would like to see him a little bit higher up, even those situations where, you know, if Stecchio's coming back to get the ball, you push up Kone. And that means that David's got to play a little bit higher now because he's come into that space. But I think that's part of the issue, is that he is coming a little bit too deep. And especially when you got a guy who's a prolific goal scorer, obviously he's not showing it recently, but the man can score goals. You need him in the box. He has to be up in the box in order for him to score goals.
I think the good thing, going back to that defensive midfield and like just the midfield pairing, you asked Craiger a few minutes ago now about Eustáquio and Kone and how they kind of play off one another. They complement each other. I think you saw on Kone's goal what's possible with Richie playing, like pulling wide, creating width on the attack. You're getting numbers, you're flooding the box. And then Kone is able to kind of ghost in to that penalty spot area. Like that is when it's working, when you have those two players where they've got different strengths. I think Kone now, you're seeing the kind of swagger come back to his game. You see like the way that he can like disguise the turns, and he's so silky when he makes moves and he drives into space and kind of progressing the ball, but then also how he can contribute to the attack. So if he's able to do that, to Jimmy's point, in the middle third especially, find that balance in when they're progressing the ball from the buildup, from the defensive third, and you can have that balance where Eustáquio is checking back and then you have Kone maybe finding the pockets that allows Jonathan David. It's a cascading effect. So you get numbers further up the pitch and you've got Richie driving on the left and you've got Tejan on the right, and then you've got Tanny who's stretching the back line. Like it just, there's more pitch balance at that point, and Canada is infinitely more threatening.
I know Tanny's got the, at this point, he's in poor position. Jesse Marsh said as much, to play alongside Jonathan David. But I don't think he did anything in these two games to say that that is his position at all. I want more from Tanny. Jimmy, don't you?
Yeah, of course we do. I mean, look, when Promise David came on, the first thing I said, I bet he scores. Obviously, he gets one chance, bang, it's in the back of the net.
He's a man of his word.
And for me, I think it's great that Tanny can start the press and he can shepherd the ball certain areas where they can set up the trap and win the ball. But at the end of the day, I'm looking at it going, we need goals. And you got a guy, a big man on the bench who can bang it and score at almost every opportunity. It's ridiculous. This is a guy that should be starting up top for me. And I think, you know, sometimes you make sacrifices. You say, okay, this guy, you know, he's a big man up top. He's not going to press the way that we want to. But, you know, surrounding players, I'm going to ask more of you now to start that press. But at the end of the day, get this guy the ball as quick as you can. And in the box, because at the end of the day, you have a number nine who's proven to score goals at international level, at club level, and we've been struggling to score goals over the last number of games. So what's more important, you know, the press or having a striker that can score goals and win you games?
I think he's just a crap trainer at training. And he pretty much said that himself. I'm not saying this particular camp, but in the past, Jesse Marsh has been quite, you know, honest about his assessment, saying, yeah, I really want him. He's got so much potential, this guy. But he's got to show it to me in training. And I think there was one game where he didn't get a minute and didn't have, I forget what game it was. It was over the summertime. And even Promise said, yeah, I've got to train better. I've got to practice better.
Yeah, his own words. He said, I was shocking.
Yeah, I was shocking. That's right.
He was meant to start, yeah. And then he didn't.
Yeah. But I like that from Jesse Marsh, though, right? Like, you're going to do it this way. It's discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Holding the team together. But yeah, I think we want to see him get some more minutes. So what, 20? I think he got 27 yesterday. Or 17, sorry. Which was a step in the right direction. But yeah, he's formidable. He's a presence out there for sure, Craig. And if nothing else, he's bloody fun to watch. And I'm not saying Tanny isn't, but I want to see some more Promise.
It's it just shows you how important it is to train well and what the coaches are looking at when you're training.
Who was the worst? Okay, let's go around the footballers here. Who was the worst former teammate who was a great player? Who was terrible in training and only got the minutes because of their reputation? Anyone could jump in with someone?
I'd have to think about that.
Don't be too critical. I mean, I'm not being, as you can say, this guy was, or this girl was, you know, a legend, but my God, didn't put it in training. Anyone, three of you got anyone you can throw out there?
I don't know if there's anybody that wasn't putting it in. It's not effort, but sometimes training doesn't, maybe an Alex Bunbury, you know, like somebody like that who just seemed to score regularly for club and country, and in training wasn't overly dominant, I would say, maybe. But that's being a little bit harsh, maybe. Yeah.
You just hammered your former teammate. That's good.
No, Sharon makes you so happy.
I think for the social.
Yeah, I think if there's anything, there's one position where it was always the strikers were, you know,
I was gonna say.
Weren't the best trainers at times, but on a Saturday they would light it up and end up, you know, not touching the ball for 80 minutes, and then all of a sudden bang, goal, and you winning a match 1-0, and they didn't have a great week of training, but come Saturday they stepped up and did their job.
You know, what's D-Row like? How's D-Row?
D-Row is a decent trainer.
Okay. Yeah. Thomas Rosinski.
He sucks sometimes in training. he was unbelievable. He was unbelievable, though.
Yeah.
What a striker. One of the best strikers I think I've played with was Thomas. He was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Still one of the most underrated Canadian strikers of all time, I think. Canadian players of all time. No one mentions him when they talk about great Canadians. No one, I don't know why. He played in the Premier League. He played at Anderlecht, you know, won a shitload of trophies.
Mm-hmm. Probably one of the best, probably if not the best striker that we've ever had as a
pure striker.
He was an intelligent striker.
Would he maybe didn't quite fulfill his potential at international duty as we thought?
Didn't he get? I think he pissed off Holger, didn't he? At some point, I think Holger dropped him. Forget
everybody pissed off Holger at some point.
Oh, really? But do you think if he was in his prime now, would Thomas Rosinski start for Canada?
Yes.
No hesitation.
Yeah, 100%.
That says it all. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Numbers. He was quick, intelligent. His movement was brilliant. He would be your starting striker.
I think we got our thumbnail right there. Dubs, Sinky. Good trainer, bad trainer?
No, great trainer.
Charmaine Hooper.
Phenomenal. Set the standard. Lang. Terrific. I mean, remember for the longest time, like especially in my era, a huge chunk of the time that I played with the national team, that was our professional setup. You couldn't take a day off.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's football. That's a good point.
I think about strikers as well. Like Jimmy makes a good point. Like the it's a type of position where you could take a day off and like kind of coast in on your reputation and show up for the match when it mattered. And I played with people at college like that. I played with a woman named Kim Angusser. Get her the ball in the box, back to goal, facing goal, left foot, right foot, no angle, like central channel, and she'd fucking bury it. She's just one of those players, not particularly athletic, not quick, but had a sublime first touch and a hell of a shot. Two-footed player. Unbelievable.
Who was Candace Rosinski for you guys? Someone that was brilliant. Was she the one? Was she club football?
Oh, no. She was Nebraska.
Nebraska. Okay. So Canadian. Who was that player that hasn't quite got the respect and love that she should have got? But within the team, there's no doubts about how good she was.
Well, I think in like the recency bias and obviously, obviously Sinke is generational and one of the best women's footballers, I think globally. I don't think she got the accolades when she should have during her career. Charmaine. Really? Yeah.
Sinke didn't get the accolades during her career?
No. When she, that hat trick that she scored versus the US in the semifinals of the London Olympics, she wasn't nominated for the Ballon d'Or that year.
Oh, was she not? Well, that is ridiculous. No. Okay, well, we could
go down a rabbit hole.
Was it FIFA then, or was it Equipe, the magazine?
It's always the FFF.
Right, France Football Federation.
Mm-hmm.
Right, with L'Equipe.
And then the best 11 that was done with FIFA Pro, that came later.
But within Canada, she was very much through her career. I think she was rated as she should have been, as you know, one of the greats.
Yeah, but I mean, unless you were a women's football fan before that, you didn't really know about the team until the semifinals of the London Olympics. Anyway, I was just going to say Charmaine Hooper. I think people know about her or are starting to know about her even now, this next generation. Mm-hmm. But somebody like Silvana Bertini, oh my goodness, was she an impressive human being, like a cop. She would stare you down. We were all scared of her on the pitch and off the pitch. And like that game in CONCACAF qualifications that we won in 98 because the US weren't in it because they were going to be hosting in 99. When we beat Puerto Rico 21-0, she scored 9 goals. And she's not talked about enough. But anyway, I want to bring it back to the conversation.
21-0, did you score?
Jimmy, you're such a dick. You know the
answer. Did you?
I did not. And I played 90 minutes.
How many assists?
Embarrassing.
You were the ball winner, Dubs.
I won the ball, you guys. Anyway.
From a bunch of freaking children, apparently.
Yeah. Jimmy's point about promise, I don't disagree. I think it's such a great point to make that I think, you know, he might be poor in training or regardless, but he scores goals. But I think your earlier point, Jimmy, about being concerned about Jonathan David getting pulled too deep. I think what Jesse Marsh likes about Tanny Alawashe is all the work off the ball and how he leads the line, no matter who the opponent is. So I think he's thinking, if I put promise in and I lose that awareness, I lose that positioning, I lose that work rate, and kind of the understanding of the system, then maybe Jonathan David has to do even more work out of possession. And so I think that's the reticence on his part, even though I completely agree with you that depending on the opponent, I think you're probably better served with having somebody like Promise up top and not scrapping the out of possession or leading the line on the press and all of your duties off the ball, but that you're willing to concede some of that in order to get the goal scoring.
Yeah, that's a good point. I just don't want Tanny to get this reputation as being a non-goal scoring striker. He's not there yet. He's still too young in his career. But, you know, you get those guys who have decent careers, but non-goal. Your job is to score goals, pretty much. You're playing that number 9 shirt, right? I think it's fair.
How about that goal, though? Like, Joel Waterman starts it from Max. Same channel ball, just kind of dinked into Segur. Perfectly timed run. First time. Whips that ball in, 2 touches, it's in the back of the net.
Yeah, it was nice. By the way, Kone's goal, I mean, listen, he's counting his lucky stars. I don't think it was going on goal, was it? He mishit it. He scuffed it.
Yeah.
First touch was great.
Went in. Yeah. Great. Last touch, that's most important.
Tell that to Tony.
She would concur. I'm a hard worker, though. I'm not a finisher, but my God, I put the work in.
She does the off-ball work.
Charm's last touch to Tony is a pat on the head. Yeah. She really appreciates it. Good job.
Sorry,
that's Charm's though, isn't it? In a nutshell, hard worker just can't finish in the box.
Yeah.
Needs to penetrate more.
You can't knock my work ethic, that's for sure.
Shame on you, Amy. Shame on you with this group of misogynists.
Yeah, that's right. I need to do better. Meanwhile, I'm just looking for the last word.
Yeah, of course you are.
Like, rack my brain but for another fun. But the first coach that I played for the senior women's national team was Neil Turnbull. And I swear to God, he could not say penetrate more when he was coaching. And we would be like, oh my God. Just one of those coaches. It was like every second word out of his mouth. Jesus Christ.
Where's he from? Just trying to, in my head, trying to decide how he says penetrate.
I think he coached at Dow, but he was from the Prairies.
Oh, he was Canadian, like Canadian through and through.
Yeah.
Okay. Wasn't like a Scotsman saying penetrate.
No.
Okay. Say moistly. Say moist too.
Moist. I can't wait till Moist Bambino comes back. Yeah. You know, that's for sure.
Did you just call him Moist Bambino?
Yes. But yeah, going back, way back to earlier in the show, Alfie Jones, yes, did a great, great job. But let's not forget just what Moist Bambino is and can be. Anyway, depth there is great. So any final thoughts on the match from yesterday or 2025 as a whole? Well, we'll regroup at the end of the year and talk about this, but. Wonga, I see you. You're like,
well, it seemed to me, and every time he's between the pipes, Max has a lot of confidence, or the team has a lot of confidence in Max.
Yep.
I everything's a flow. He's making all the right decisions. And I'm not saying Dane's not. It's just there's a comfort level, perhaps, that they're used to. And it's to me, it shows, but I'm also biased. We've had Max on the show. We haven't, like, he's a very, you know, Craig and him text every once in a while. There's, you know, I don't know. Maybe that's just not fair to make that comparison right now, but that's how it seemed last night, especially with nothing going on the pitch. I mean, the game, other than a weird scuffy kick from Kone and then an offside goal from Promise David.
He wasn't offside.
Oh, he was offside.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, look at it. They didn't have VAR. He was offside. It would have been called back. He was above the play.
Yeah, but he wasn't interfering with play.
Caldwell even said he was offside.
No.
Yeah, he did.
No, I think he said it would have been looked at if there was VAR to make sure that he was onside, but he didn't say that's offside.
But it would have been he didn't say that. He said, it would have been called back if they had VAR. That's basically what he said. I'm paraphrasing. So
I think Kone's red card would have been rescinded had they looked at it again.
Yeah.
Right. I don't think you can blame Kone.
Okay, I have a question. The question is, are referees should they be looking at this different from a friendly point of view, working into the FIFA World Cup, that they're not just pulling out red cards left and right? Is this not helpful, or is it helpful? Because teams are going to play with one man down and 10 against 10. Because this is two matches in a row. And I'm wondering, would that not be kind of Ecuador, Fed and Canada's Fed, let's play it a little looser. We don't want anyone to get hurt, but obviously we don't want red cards being thrown all over the place. Jimmy, I don't know. Is this a thing? Am I being crazy?
I mean, look, if it's a red card, it's a red card regardless. But in friendlies, I don't know. We were sitting there just talking, going, you know, this is terrible because now you're playing 10v10 for quite a long period of the game. Are you getting much out of it? Yeah, you are in a way, but not really. You want to play 11v11 from friendlies, and maybe in friendlies you know you've got two players sent off from both teams. Maybe both managers agree that we go back to 11v11. I don't know. Just to get something out of it rather than playing 10v10 the whole time.
Yeah, it's like just a coach's thing.
I think just generally speaking, referees give too many red cards these days.
Mm. Yeah, they're very quick.
Very quick. And when the World Cup comes along, depending on where that referee is in the world, because they do referee differently in different continents, is very important how you go into the game and who you're dealing with and what kind of refereeing. And because we've seen this, what's happened, what Canada's had, what County Jesse, I guess that's four red cards in the last 14 games or something. That's a lot.
Chef Kone. Right?
Chef Kone, Jesse, and Ali.
Ali, that's right. Yeah, of course. Yeah. 3 days ago. Yeah.
No, but I don't know if that's a thing, like where you, because it is in, and I know there's no such thing as a friendly, but it is a thing in other sports where you go, hey, you know, like we want things to even out here. We want, this is a, it's called a friendly for a reason. Mm-hmm.
Still, if no one's there to see it, does it really happen? We've got some other World Cup qualifiers. Little teeny tiny 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 teeny teeny tiny teams getting to the World Cup. Scotland. Joking. I just don't. I'm part Scottish. I can say that. I'm allowed to. But Curacao, Haiti have now made it. We know about Cape Verde. My God, I'm waiting for some great heavyweight tilts at this World Cup in the group phase. There's going to be some beauts. Sorry.
I'm not going to tell you what that, but there's something I mean, we've criticized. I have certainly the 48 team World Cup, but there's something kind of magical about teams like Curacao, 156,000 people, Haiti. You know, if somebody needs a pick me up, it's Haiti. You know,
I'm kidding. That's true.
Right. It's, they don't even play at home and they managed to pull that off. It's quite exceptional. It's really, really quite something. And we got Iraq in the playoff as well, beating UAE in a 117th minute penalty. Like, what the hell?
Crazy. Great drama yesterday, man. It was
great drama. Like, and we sort of criticized World Cup qualifying because it seems to have lost its luster a little bit. But when push comes to shove, it's actually had some great excitement all over the world.
But it seems like Spain and Germany took them to the last game to guarantee their spots at the World Cup. Scotland, my God, Scotland, Jimmy. Down 2-1. Late.
Incredible match. And then
2-2, two goals and extra time. But the goals, the quality of the goals from Scott McTominay to Kieran Trippier, my God, what a match that was.
Oh, I thought I was watching Brazil.
Yeah.
It doesn't get any better.
It was Tierney. Not Trippier.
Sorry, Kieran Trippier would be, of course.
Yeah, right, man.
Yeah, McLean.
Kieran Tierney, sorry.
From halfway.
Jimmy's going to have a hard time, eh? Yeah. Like, he's got this Ireland.
This could be a great World Cup if Ireland gets there as well.
Canada, yeah. Yeah. Imagine if there's some bad fog in Edinburgh and in Dublin, and they all of a sudden all have to fly out of Gatwick. And it's the English team, the Irish team, and the Scottish team. There'll be a lot of pubs getting broken in that in London that day.
Yeah. Wales isn't out of it yet.
No.
Yeah,
they're in there. Yeah. They're in the playoffs, right?
Amazing.
Hope they don't get drawn with Ireland. I haven't looked into how the draw works. That's again on my list today to do these kind of things for the playoffs. Or have they been determined? The draw's not been made, has it? I think we know about overhead.
Is John Carver still with Scotland?
No, he's in Poland.
That's right.
Oh, hey, coach, right?
Yeah, coaching a club team. Man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Good for him.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it was fun. This World Cup qualifying, you're right. 2025 is done internationally. 2026 should be all right. Kind of look forward to that. But before then, of course, December 5th is going to be the World Cup draw. And we will obviously cover that in some depth. And then it gets real, right? When you know who Canada's facing in that group phase, you know the route to the final. That will be exciting. So December 5th, I'm just looking forward to how much camera time Donald Trump gets that week. It's going to be fantastic. Yeah, he hosted Ronaldo last night.
Yeah, he did.
And the top-born Saudi, the guy with the checkered past. We'll get into that. That was something else. Checkered past. My God. Times we live in. But yeah, seeing Ronaldo there. And apparently Trump was talking at the dinner and was saying how happy he was to have Ronaldo and how he introduced Ronaldo to his son, Baron, who was a big, big Ronaldo fan, apparently. Yeah. And now his son respects him more because he introduced him to Ronaldo.
I can see Trump, when they're drawing the balls out of the hat, just stopping it. No, I don't like that draw. Put it back in. No.
But I wonder, he's got little small hands. Would he be able to grab a ball?
Oh, that's why he could do it. His little hand could fit in there.
Oh. Yeah. If he pulls out Iraq or something like that, he'll be just like, throw that back in there.
I am excited.
Where's Israel? They're not there, Donald. Sorry.
No. I'm excited about all these CONCACAF teams that I'm going to be cheering on CONCACAF. The only team in CONCACAF I will not cheer for, the United States. So I'm just saying that right now.
Really? See, I have no allegiance to anyone in CONCACAF outside Canada. I hope they do poorly because I hate them.
You hate who?
CONCACAF.
You hate Suriname. You hate Curacao. You hate Haiti.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes, it was a CONCACAF and the heartbreak and the frustration and anger CONCACAF's delivered over the years, right? I don't want to see them do well. Oh, it's so good for CONCACAF.
You're such a suck up every Honduras time Victor Montagliani's on.
Who cares?
Victor Montagliani's on and Sharms is like, CONCACAF's the best. That.
Fine.
No, it's good that the region does well.
Yes, that's the point.
Someone that you played millions of games against those opponents, Craig, that disappoints me. I want to see more anger towards your former opponents here, okay? As a fan, I'm angry and I hate them all. I expect at least that from you.
Yeah, I want us to do better than the United States, but I got nothing against them doing well in this tournament.
Jimmy, come on, help me out here.
No, I think it's you want the region to do well. If the region does do well, then there's opportunities for it to have more teams coming out of CONCACAF get into a World Cup.
You're thinking too big picture here. Think about those matches in Honduras and Panama and how you've been screwed over the years and the theatrics and the embellishments and how they've you want to God damn it, why are they doing this to us? And you want them to do well at a World Cup. All right, Curacao, okay, tiny. Nice little story, sure. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
When you get belted I'm with fans of urine, Craig, and you want those fans to be happy?
Hey, Sharm, hey. I'm with you. Like, think about all these have countries, like Venezuela with their great government and way of life, and Haiti with all their great trinkets, etc. It's about time somebody took it to them. They have too easy for too long.
Listen, I'll give you your opportunities. I will. I'll give you that. They are nice stories, but do I want to see Honduras get through the playoffs, you know, and then you know? No. I remember freaking 8-1, don't you?
Do you want Italy to make the World Cup?
Italy?
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing against Italy. And I think the World Cup's better for them being there.
That's how I feel about CONCACAF.
Yeah, but Italy's never hated on you before. You never had an issue with Italy.
What do you? The sir.
You've never been out on College Street with Dan.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, other issues? Are the bars closed? College. Now it's coming out.
Yes, all right, that's something I do. I don't know. I just I'm like Jimmy and Craig. I feel like it's better for the entire federation across the board if CONCACAF is doing well. More opportunity, more investment, and that will raise all boats.
Of course.
Right?
Not. Okay. Well, fair enough. All right. If you want to go that way, fine. I'm just disappointed in you all that. So I think your memories are short. That's all I'm saying.
Now, we did forget Dubs left because she had another appointment, but we did forget to ask her. So please remind us about them trying to train how to look injured on the field. Oh, because... There's got, we were talking on the dark web last night about, as a player, what are you doing when you're faking? If you're hurt, you're hurt. But when you're faking, are you counting? Like, I need 20 seconds of a full count. Like, how long? Because Joel Waterman, look, I'm just talking to Canadians. There were a couple times that you're like, Schaff got elbowed in the ribs and made a meal of it. And Steve Caldwell was like, oh, that's not a good look. And obviously he's bringing his European, especially his English or UK approach to it, Great Britain. But it would be awkward. Like, I think you're I don't know, Jimmy, Craig, do you ever sit there making a meal of a little touch and feeling awkward that you're on the ground too long or not enough?
You know, I don't agree with it. I don't like it. It's a stain on the game. But if you don't join them, you're going to be left behind. You're going to end up failing on opportunities when other teams would get you sent off and vice versa. So it's, unfortunately, as part of the game.
It is, but like, you know, let's keep in mind too, right? It's in all sports. You look at basketball, they're always trying to draw a foul to get touched and make a meal of it, and falling back, and hockey the same, a little tap now or a hook, and they're drawing penalties, and it's no different.
No, I agree. I agree with that.
They draw penalties.
Yeah, I agree with everyone's fouls. Everyone's faking it. It's just the punishment in soccer is higher. Whether it's a free kick, whether it's a yellow, whether it's a red, that's all. That's why that's why it's one of those things where you're like, hey, do we teach this now? Do we bring in a drama coach from Stratford?
Some Shakespearean
falling, yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we were always poor at diving.
Well, if it's not in your DNA. It's not in your DNA. You don't
It's obviously in Richie's DNA. He did it yesterday when he got attached in his face. He embellished that, let's be honest.
Yeah.
He pulled a full CONCACAF and he got a red card out of it.
Richie's a masterclass actor already. We already know that.
He really is. Dubsy was telling us last night, and she's left now, but we'll ask her about it next week or later this week, about how once at Canadian training, they were practicing dives. And they were so bad that the coach said, this is ridiculous. Get up. It was so bad. So I want to hear the full story. So please remind us. Between the five of us, we're going to forget.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, that's Footy Prime for this Wednesday. We are back tomorrow talking some Vancouver Whitecaps. Might be a slightly later record. You'll find out why when you hear the show. Okay.
Mm.
But Whitecaps coming up with a massive tilt against LAFC as the MLS playoffs resume.
Longest gap in history between games.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, did you see Steve McLaren resigned? Was Jamaica manager?
Oh, from Jamaica. Did he really, eh?
Yeah.
It didn't work out for him, did it? Oh, Jamaica.
No.
So he's available, is what you're saying.
Oh, and shout out to Stephen Hart, who we saw on the weekend, too.
Great to see Hart. Was he there? Oh, nice.
Yeah. Really good time.
All right. All right, everyone. Well, I hope you enjoyed that. Make sure you like and you subscribe to our little podcast here and watch us on YouTube and leave comments. We'll get to a comment show very soon as well. Maybe even this week. Well, we'll wait and see. So until next time, thanks so much and cheers for listening.
Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG and visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
All right, good.